Well, good morning and welcome this Easter Sunday morning. It's lovely to see you all here. It's lovely that the sunshine and it's bright and you're very welcome. So please come on in, find a seat. If you're here for the first time, if you're visiting here today, especially warm welcome. With those who are already seated, just look around, see if there's anyone that you don't know and just welcome them. Church, welcome those who are new to us. It's good to see you. And we hope you'll feel relaxed and able to enjoy this service of celebration. Today we celebrate that Jesus is alive. God's Son, who lived and died, rose again. He is alive. He overcame the power of sin and death on the cross for us, that we might receive forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus lives and reigns with God the Father now and forever. This is the greatest day. It's unsurpassed. It's the greatest day that Jesus rose from the dead. It's the best news for us and for everyone. I'm going to read some verses from Mark's Gospel as we start our service. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices to anoint Jesus' body. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the tomb, which was very large, the stone which was very large on the front of the tomb, had already been rolled back. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, an angel, dressed in a white robe, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and ran from the tomb to tell the others. Would you stand with me and we'll make this proclamation that we make on Easter Sunday morning. I'll say those first words and you repeat following. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Please remain standing as we pray. We thank you, Lord, that Easter is not about a few people, but about all people. That your love and your salvation are for all who confess with their voices, with their hearts and their lives, that the tomb is empty because Jesus is risen. As the sun rises, may the light of his victory over death shine in our hearts. Fill us with joy and gratitude for the hope and new life that we have found in him. Amen. Amen. Dan, lead us. Thank you.
See what a morning, gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Is risen. See God's salvation plan, brought in love, born in pain, paid in sacrifice. Fulfilled in Christ the man, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. See Mary weeping. He laid as the sorrow she turns from the empty tomb. Hears a voice speaking, calling her name, as the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring up, bringing peace to us. Father, ancient of days, through the Spirit, clothed faith with certainty. Honor and blessing, glorious praise to the King, crowned with power and authority. And we are raised with Him. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. Is risen from the dead.
Thank you that in you we have the victory. Thank you that through the Son, your death, the death of your Son and the resurrection, that you found a way to make us saved.
I better step back from that. I forgot I've got two mics on. Good morning. We are going to do things a little bit differently today, but don't think different is scary, okay? Different is good, okay? It's a good day, so therefore we're going to celebrate. We are going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to watch videos, we're going to get creative, we're going to get involved, okay? Don't worry, we're not going to make you do anything crazy like dress up as a chicken or a turkey or anything like that, so don't panic, okay? We're going to hear the whole story of God from the beginning to what we know now, okay? We're going to hear the whole story of God. It's going to be a good morning to celebrate the best thing, to celebrate the risen Lord Jesus. So, have a look at this.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the
kingdom, the power
and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
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 Good morning, I'm Ashley. I'm going to help guide us through this particular story. And we are starting with that, the Lord's Prayer, because it says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, which is the starting point for everything you're about to see and take part in this morning. We're going to hear a bit of how things began. So invite Andrew and Rachel to come up and help us here. And by the way, what we're going to do is we're going to create creation on the board behind me. You may have underneath your seats at the end of your aisles some painted pictures. We need all of those to make the creation story. So when you hear your bit, please could you bring it, grab it, bring it up here, and we'll stick it on the front to make the creation story. So, what could possibly go wrong? Over to Rachel and Andrew.
When God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called light.
I need a light fitting. Somebody got a light fitting somewhere over.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Great.
Perfect. Thank you.
Wow.
Great.
And there was evening and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God said, Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And God saw that it was
good.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day.
Dot, you're sitting in the right place over there, because you've got the globe, I reckon, over that side. Perfect, bring it up. There we go. Aren't you glad you sat there this morning?
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Great. Just hold it there a sec and I'll stick these on. I'll get one on that end and one on that end. Great, thank you. Okay, okay. Yeah, that's good.
Then God said, Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was
Good.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
Now, I haven't got a tree because I forgot the tree. but I'm just going to do something very quickly here. It's a little go. We'll do this, and this, and this, and this. And then we'll do some of this.
It's Banksy.
Yeah, you're there before me, aren't you?
Sorry.
Carry on.
Very good, very good. And God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for the days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And God saw that it was
good.
And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day.
Could do with the sun and the moon, please. And I reckon there's a sun down there. A sun and a moon. Dennis has got the moon. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Easter Bunny. Let's get the sun on this side. Dennis has got the moon. Thank you very much.
That was not pre-arranged.
And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarmed, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was
good.
And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day.
I want a fish.
A fish.
And I want three birds, please. So a fish and three birds would be cool.
Great.
Fantastic. We just pop the fish up first. We have a leaping fish in the water. You got a bird for me. Marvellous.
Brilliant.
Let's put a bird up in the sky.
Is that it?
I reckon there's another bird. Liz has got the other bird. Well done.
Right. Great.
Thank you very much.
Very good. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
So I reckon we've got an Adam and Eve somewhere kind of joined together, like a green Adam and a green Eve. And I've also got a koala bear, because I like koala bears, and I've got a cow. So, yeah, brilliant. Judith's got the cow. Yeah, yeah, brilliant. Bring them up. Edwin's got Adam and Eve.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Let me do the cow first. Thank you.
Adam and Eve.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm getting stuck up with my bits here. Thank you, Edwin. That's great. Yeah. Put the cow down there. Just to say, I wasn't too sure, you know, family service and that doing Adam and Eve. So it's kind of a bit stylized. So just to explain.
Adam and Eve weren't green then.
Thank you. Very green. Very green. And there's the koala on the tree.
Very good.
So God created humankind in his image. Yeah. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good.
It was
God's
very
God's world was
good.
Very good.
Someone's got, like, we need to verify that this is actually very good. So under a seat somewhere, is there something that says very good? Ah, over there, Phil, come on. Here we go. This will be the last one, I think. Well done, yep. Mr. Ashton. Great. Thank you very much.
Sorry, give me some light.
Like your five-star review of our afternoon tea yesterday.
Here we have the creation of the world. There is peace, there is relationship, there is love. Everything works exactly as God intended it. And as we've read, that on the last day, well, God created human beings, and then on the seventh day, God rested. Phew, he was tired. He rested. Back to Dan.
Should we stand?
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his love not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art.
The first part of the service, and we have the world created as God intended it to be. People lived at peace with God. We could kind of demonstrate that by saying that if this is God's chair and this is our chair, then we were sitting face to face, talking in relationship, at peace with God. But there is a problem with what happened next. This is just Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2, we read about how Adam and Eve, how human beings turned away from God. So as much as God wanted to be in relationship with us, we turned away from God. The amazing thing that we read is that God, of course, went looking for Adam and Eve. He went to go and find them in the garden. He constantly pursued them to find out where they were. That's the kind of God he is. He wants to be in relationship with us. But Adam and Eve turned away from him. Strangely, generationally, this happened all over again. So Adam and Eve have a couple of boys. One's called Cain, one's called Abel. Cain kills his brother Abel because he turns away from God and doesn't want to be in relationship with him and live the kind of life that God wants for him. He chooses a life that is pointless and worthless and empty. But read your Bibles. What does God do? We read in the story that God comes looking for Cain because he wants to know Cain. He wants to be in a relationship with Cain. He wants Cain to live the rest of his life knowing him. And so this story continues time and time again. In fact, to kind of shorten the whole story of the Old Testament, we have God's people who are supposed to live in relationship with him. He gives them these laws to know, how can I be at peace with God? Fulfill these laws and know God and be at peace with him. But the people constantly turn away from God. And all through the Old Testament, we read stories of God pursuing his people, going and finding them, bringing them back from, what is it, captivity in Egypt, bringing them back from exile in Babylon, bringing them back to be in relationship with him. This quite remarkable story. But people keep on turning away from God. And God determines to do something quite extraordinary. God realizes the only thing that I can do to bring these people back is actually to come to this world as a human being so that I can know these people fully and perfectly. And so we have Jesus who comes to the earth. And what does Jesus do? He goes looking for people. So there's this remarkable story of this woman who lives in this bit of Israel, and she's kind of made mistakes in her life. And she's had five husbands, and the guy she's with currently is not her husband. And yet, God doesn't see that as a barrier to his love. God doesn't see that as a barrier to being in relationship with him. God goes to meet this woman. So even in the heat of the midday sun, when the woman is drawing water from the well because she knows that nobody will be there, so she can be on her own and she won't get that abuse and mocking that people give her, Jesus goes and finds her and talks to her and says things to her which make such a difference in her life that she runs back to her village and says, come and see the man who's told me everything I've ever done. Because that's the kind of God who keeps on looking for us. Jesus goes into a town called Jericho one day. And in Jericho, there is a guy who absolutely has chosen to pursue this life, which is what? Pointless, futile, worthless, empty, that's going to lead to death. His name is Zacchaeus, and he is a tax collector. And because of being a tax collector, he's seen it as a shortcut to make himself some money and pursue his own wealth, even if it means that he annoys and is ostracized by all the people, he still pursues this life. He has no particular worth apart from his money. He has no friends, because he's forsaken them all. And Jesus comes in And bizarrely, Jesus calls him, of anybody out of the crowd, by name. And this guy, Zacchaeus, who has no friends, who people don't go home with, Jesus comes to his house and becomes his friend, because this is the God who relentlessly pursues us, who comes after us time and time again. And the rest of the New Testament, or the rest of the Gospels rather, are repeated stories of Jesus going after these people whose lives in some way are broken and empty, and he restores them back into families. He restores their bodies. Some people, their bodies are broken, they're lame or they're blind or they're deaf, and he heals people, because this is the kind of God we have, who relentlessly pursues us to bring us back to him. The woman who's sleeping around, the man who's possessed by demons, God goes looking for all these people.
Can I invite you to stand?
When I survey
So as I said, in the creation story, we read that Adam and Eve decided to go their own way and they were separated and removed from God. That was the life that they chose. The Bible has a word for this. The Bible's word is the word sin. It's the old-fashioned word, perhaps, but it's the only word that pretty sums up the issue. And that sin is separation from God. That sin is rebellion against God. That sin is choosing life that I want, the empty, pointless, worthless life that ends to death. And so we understand it. We were made, of course, by God and for God. That's the story of Adam and Eve in the story behind me. We were made, as it were, to have a relationship with God. But the way that it's been explained is that our rejection of God, this pointless, worthless, empty life, has consequences. These things weigh heavy on us and they separate us from our relationship with Jesus. But of course, God, as we ended up, sent his own son, Jesus Christ, the thing we're marking today. And the remarkable thing that we understand that Jesus did is that he took for us all our sin and failure on him. He bore our sins. We've sung about those things already today. And because of that, where does that leave us? It leaves us free. Leaves that burden removed from us. That weight has been taken off us because Jesus himself bore that weight. That's why God's love is so great for us. It's a love that takes him all the way to the cross, and it's a love that takes him all the way into death and separation from his Father. Philly, give us a hand. Onto the top. Okay. Great. Before Jesus died, he'd already said to his disciples, those closest to him, some extraordinary words. He'd said to them, I am the resurrection and the life, which is a strange and unexpected and surprising thing for him to say. And the Bible tells us that later Jesus will say these words. He'll say, I was dead, but behold, now I am alive. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. And if Jesus really does hold the keys of death and Hades, can you think about what he might want to do with those keys? How he might want to use them? What that might facilitate for those that he's been pursuing, those he loves, those he wants to be in relationship with? The Christian faith has been summed up in a couple of creeds. A credo means something we believe. And the Apostles' Creed starts with these words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, the Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again and he ascended to heaven and he is seated at the right hand of the Father and he will come to judge the living and the dead. So there is a way to deal with that separation with God, that worthless, pointless, empty kind of life. There is a way to deal with that. God has come to die in our place, to open up a way, this ever-pursuing God who chases us down wherever we might go. God chases us down. And therefore we can know peace. Peace with God. He becomes our heavenly Father. We can pray the prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." We can have peace with other people. Relationships are restored. There is forgiveness abroad in the community of God's people. And we have peace in our own lives. That regret, that shame, that guilt that we carry with us can be removed. Christian people are not people of guilt and shame. They're people of forgiveness and life. There are, of course, people who refuse to listen to God. There are, of course, people who refuse to be with God and prefer to live life without him. But do you think that God will ever, ever give up on them?
Spent every decent thing I am, pockets empty, now it's you and me. I've been foolish, rash, unruly, taking pride in all I have, taken from you, now it's you and me. And this is love. You for the selfish things I do, and this is love, that you still love me in spite of me. Seconds pass and I think back to every time I have said I am sorry, now it's you and me. So can I say these words again, even with the things I've done? I broke your heart, now it's you. This is love, that you still love me in spite of me. Morning comes and I think back to every time said I am sorry.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that your love reaches out to us and never ceases, to young and old. Your love is greater than any love that we have for one another. It is always faithful, always true. You come running towards us, ready to forgive for any wrong that we have done, to cleanse and renew us. We thank you for this glorious day when we remember the extent of your love for us. You came into this world to save us by your sacrificial love on the cross. You carried our sins and the sins of the whole world. You are the Saviour of the world. You overcame death and rose to life that we might live the life that you have called us to live now and into eternity. You have opened the gates of heaven. Today, let us renew our faith in our God who saves and dedicate ourselves again to live for Jesus, to be Easter people. May the light of Jesus in us shine that others might see and know that Jesus is light and hope for all. We pray for the witness of your church in all areas of life, that the hope that we have in you might be good news. Restored relationships, building community, serving others, where there is conflict, to be the ones who bring your peace. And may the name of Jesus be honored and praised now and always. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
So if you've got a Bible and you open the Bible like in the middle, try to open it like bang on in the middle, you're going to hit the Psalms. They're like in the middle of the Bible. And there's 150 Psalms. But I want to tell you about just one of them, Psalm 136. Because I reckon I can teach you half of Psalm 136 in about 10 seconds. If you can remember the words, "His love endures forever, His love endures forever," then you can learn that psalm, well, half of it at least. Every other line of the psalm, and I should have my Bible with me. Every other line of Psalm 136 goes, "His love endures forever." Let me just start you off and see if you can say a bit of this with me. It starts in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to God, the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Who understands, who by understanding made the heavens." I'm not going to force you to say the whole thing. There are indeed 26 verses. It says his love endures forever 26 times. And okay, it can be a bit dull reading the same thing over and again. But I reckon to the people who first heard this psalm being spoken, after about the fourth or fifth or sixth time, it starts to sink in. And they began to capture this vital, core, eternal truth of God. That whatever we do, this is the God whose love endures forever. It goes on and on and on. I guess in life, for the people who hate the love that God wants to give them, life feels a bit like hell. But for the people who choose to love in response to the love that God is showing them, life can actually feel a bit like heaven. Dan.
Let's stand together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to be.
Shopping, okay? Other supermarkets are available, okay? So don't feel we all have to go to Aldi. I need some volunteers. I need probably about 4 or 5 volunteers, preferably of the slightly younger contingency. However, I'll take anyone if no one comes up. Come on, Hannah, come with Rebecca, go on. Come on then, 1, 2, brilliant, 3, 4, fantastic. We've got one more. Yay, well done, Mohammed. Me, you can become a helpful assistant if you'd like. Do you want to come and be a helpful assistant? Right, come and line up. Come a little bit nearer so everyone can see you. Come a bit nearer to me. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Marvellous. Now, I've been shopping. You know that game. I've been shopping and I have bought. Okay, you know. So I have been shopping and I have bought a mobile phone. Okay, I've been shopping and I have bought a tin of biscuits. I've been shopping and I bought a jar of coffee. Okay, posh coffee, I got given that for my birthday. I've been shopping and I bought some, what are they, tennis balls, okay? Just hold it that way. Hang on. I've been shopping and I bought a new pair of trainers. Hooray! Fantastic. Okay, so let's have a think. Okay, what do we expect in this box? What's going to be in there?
iPhone.
An iPhone. Ooh, very good. What's going to be in here? What does it say on the front? Can you read it out? If you feel something is missing in life, it's almost always a...
biscuit.
Biscuit, yeah. No, it doesn't say Jesus. What do you expect in there?
Ground beans.
Ground beans. Ooh, very nice. Coffee. Oh, yes. Moose medium roast. What's in there?
Tennis balls.
What do you expect in there?
Trainers.
Okay, very good. Shall we have a great unboxing? Who watches unboxing videos on YouTube where they unbox things? And shall we have a great unboxing? You ready? You ready for this? Go on then, pull this up. Dun 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 dun! It's a... Oh. I wasn't expecting that. What is it? A packet of mini eggs?
Yeah.
Wow, you're the winner, aren't you? Very good. Oh, Rebecca. Don't... Oh. Oh. What's inside? Oh, it's empty. Oh, I was a bit disappointed by that. Make some biscuits, I will do. I'll just quickly pop off and do them. Right, let's have a look. It's gonna be coffee. Oh, what is it? Nails? Screws? Who keeps those in coffee tins? Wow, there we go. Okay, what's in there? Tennis balls, come on, there's gotta be tennis balls. Gotta be tennis balls. Ready?
Apples?
That's not an apple, it's a tennis ball. It's got to be a tennis ball. Right, I didn't bring the racket, but that would have been fun, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah, okay, maybe not. Apples and tennis balls. Right, this has got to be it. This has got to be it. We've got to have one of these. That's got the. What are we expecting in this, trainers? Okay, ready for a trainers? Okay, it's Easter. Maybe I've got a new pair of trainers.
Bunny.
A what?
Bunny.
So on Easter morning, we get a what? A bunny? An Easter bunny? Duh! Oh, it's not expected to be in that box. Oh my goodness, this is really strange. So we're expecting one thing and we get another. Okay, that is really strange. Well done, everybody. Can you pop your shopping back in the box? How strange. How strange. You can keep the mini eggs if you want to. Wow. Oh, are you feeling a bit like, Rebecca, are you feeling a bit disappointed? Yeah, because there's nothing in yours, was there? Are you feeling a bit, did you want to play tennis? Yeah, I'm kind of a bit all over the place. Like, are you quite happy with what you found? Yeah, no. Wow, goodness. Oh, over to you, Ash.
Something quite unexpected happens. And it's interestingly, for a dad of three girls, you get to see the world through slightly different idea, through eyes. And one of the ways that you see the world differently is when you read, you get your fiver later, don't worry. You read the story and find out that it's the blokes who feature prominently in the story. There are Roman soldiers, there are chief priests, there's Pilate, there's disciples. All these blokes get involved in the story and are the main characters, or so it appears. But it's the women, who get the unexpected star of the show role. Take a look at this.
Although family life was full of joy, Rose never gave up on her dream of being ordained herself. And it was in part the Easter story that inspired her to stand up for the rights of women in the church.
So what does Easter actually mean to you?
Well, for me, Easter is all about salvation of the world, the cross of Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection. And what we see being represented here is salvation. And at the heart of salvation is the Easter story, the Christ who comes to release us from a life of sin and death. Mm. And for us as Christians, as we celebrate Easter, it is the joy of being released.
Do you have a favorite character in the Easter story, or a favorite moment?
I think, yes, the faithfulness of the women.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, because why were we taught? I'm sorry, why were we taught that Jesus was abandoned? He was not abandoned.
He was never abandoned.
The women were at the cross, the women were at the tomb, Mary Magdalene was there overnight.
They were there.
So what's, What's going on?
Well, you know, history is his story.
Yes.
Yeah?
But does it...
So we have to reclaim that. The women, they are there, their faithfulness. And they're rewarded because Jesus appears to them.
First. Yes.
And not only does Jesus appear to them, but he gives them a message. Go and tell that I'm alive. I've risen.
That was given to a woman. So.
Given to a woman. She is the first apostle. Because an apostle is one that is sent.
Yes. And she's the apostle to the apostles.
She is absolutely the apostle to the apostles.
We can be friends.
So, I think we can dispense with this. Now and get back to this. You were made by God and for God. And ABC, we believe that life never makes sense until we grasp that truth. You are made by God and for God. Because in God we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Many of you will actually know the name Alexander III of Macedon, because you know him as Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, as you probably know, had the greatest empire of the ancient world, which he ruled at the age of just 30 years. And there are many stories recorded of the life of Alexander. I'll tell you just one of them to close today. The story is told of one of his soldiers who deserted as a soldier of Alexander's and ran off, but was captured. And rather than being summarily executed, was brought back and placed before his king, Alexander the Great. Alexander looked up at him and said, "So what is your name?" To which the soldier replied, "I share the name of the king, for my name is Alexander." Alexander the Great thought for a moment and signalled to his aides that the deserting soldier should be pardoned. But before he let him go, he placed one condition on this soldier. He said to him, "Young man, you change your name or you change your life. You change your name or you change your life." We are called Christians. Christians, it simply means little Christs, little Christ. We bear the name of Jesus Christ today. And we live lives which testify to this truth. There is a way by which we can deal with the emptiness and sin of our lives. And that is to choose and respond to this pursuing God, this God who comes after us every single time, who's not content with us living our empty, worthless, pointless lives, but wants us to be, how do those chairs go, in relationship with him, so that we can be at peace with God, with other people, peace in our own lives as well. I imagine that many people, perhaps most people in this room, have already made a deliberate decision to be Christians, to be little Christ, to follow Jesus. But equally, it may be the case that some of you haven't yet chosen to do this. And what I invite you to do is to do that today, to choose to become a little Christ, to bear this name of our King and to follow him in the rest of your life. If that's something you want to do, then come and speak to me or Andrew after service. We'll be really pleased to talk to you. The story goes on, though, goes on into the future. We have this last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And Revelation paints a picture of all those things that will happen in the future. In chapter 21, it says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And God says of this new place that he will be with them and they will be his people, that he will wipe every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And God recreates the world again as it should be. Over the years, I've read what various people have kind of speculated about heaven. In fact, the Bible doesn't say much about heaven, only little kind of teasers. So it's less to us to kind of fill in the gaps and think, well, what would heaven be like? What would I want heaven to be like? There's some famous people I've read who have speculated about this. So Adrian Plass, the Christian writer, he says, I want heaven to be an oak-beamed Sussex pub. Is there any better kind? An oak-beamed Sussex pub. Simon Thomas, the Christian Sky Sports TV presenter, Simon Thomas says, I want heaven to be a 24-hour five-a-side football tournament with a free Indian food buffet on the side. That's my idea of heaven. So if that sparked a few ideas, you've got on your seats or at the end of seats some post-its and some pens under seats. I want you to take a couple of minutes and just scribble down one kind of vision of something you would love heaven to be like. A little picture of heaven. Can be as creative, wild, imaginative, crazy as you like. Have an idea of what you'd want it to be like. Well, give me just a minute. How are you doing? Are you there yet? Got your little slice of heaven in your mind's eye? Okay, you might want to delegate somebody in your row to gather them all up, because we're going to stick them on the creation scene, because we're going to recreate heaven and earth. So if you can gather them up, and somebody perhaps at the end to bring them up the front, that would be great, and we'll stick them up on the wall. Dan, you're good to go.
And while you're doing that, if you'd like to stand, let's sing together.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Sing. Yes, you make me sing. Would you make me sing, sing, sing? How you make me sing? Hallelujah. Me sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. You have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. Empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Happy day, you wash my sin away. No, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace, every pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. Now clapping's not optional, he's alive. Come on! Happy day, you wash my sin away. No, happy day, I'll never be the same. No, happy day, you wash my sin away. No, happy day, I'll never be the same. Glorious way that you have saved me, and oh, what a glorious day, glorious name. Hey, 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 and oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Happy day, I'll never be the same.
Take a seat just before Andrew comes and blesses us. Just want to give you a slice of what heaven is. We've filled in a few of the gaps this morning. So according to this, there's going to be an awful lot of peace. We've done that, and no war. So that's a big feature of heaven. Heaven is apparently going to be a bit like a golf course, a bit like a Caribbean beach, and a bit like the Lake District. Picture that one. But my favourite It's going to be an Argentine tango to live music. There we go, Andrew.
Yes, I was the golf course. That was me. That was me. Okay. We've got two blessings for you today. It's Easter Sunday. Here's the first. Today may you know the hope and the joy of the resurrection. Jesus, who blesses us with fullness of life now, this day and into eternity. And may you live as Easter people in the world, proclaiming with your voices and your lives the best news ever, that God loves all people and Jesus saves. Amen. There's a second blessing, and it isn't the tea and coffee at the back, but it is a blessing. It is a blessing. So maybe there's three. Is that we have an Easter egg hunt. Okay. So scattered around this building, only at this level, but in this room and in the room behind us, I'm told, and in the balcony, you may find some eggs. And if you find them, you can keep them. So see how many you can get. Have a good Easter. Thank you for coming.